You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Beck Lover is a undercover as a freedom fighter rocking in the New York City wind. Oh yeah, oh yeah, it's Beck Lover, everybody. And he's undercover as a freedom fighter rocking in the New York City wind. How we gonna survive these crazy times, Mr. Lover? Are you a lover, not a hater? It's hard out there in the New York City din. Here he comes, he's Beck Lover, and he's undercover as a freedom fighter rocking in the New York City wind. What's up, Beck Lover, podcast influencer, overall man of mystery, and great friend of mine? Welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
My brother, Joseph Arthur, thank you for the serenade. I never had someone that I actually love and respect their music sing a melody for me. I think I'm going to use that. I have your permission.
You have my permission. Use it. I'll even record another version of it if you want. But that was pretty good. It was, Beck Lover, undercover as a freedom fighter, rocking in the New York City wind. What's going on, man? What is on your radar these days? How are you feeling about the state of the world? I had this crazy talk with Michael Yon in the first segment. Man, there's a lot going on with the border down there at the, the Darien Gap, and all kinds of crazy stuff. He says we're being invaded. What's on your radar?
Joseph, besides the fact we had a human barbecue, literally.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of Manhattan. And I want to talk a little bit about that, okay? I want to talk a little bit about the person who burned themselves, the second person to do so in recent times because of the whole conflict in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they were quick to say it was in protest of Trump, and that wasn't the case. The guy was protesting Trump and Biden.
Right.
His message was that, I might not be quoting it exactly, but this guy lit himself on fire. What a horrific graphic video that was.
Yeah, it's terrible. Literally
roasted slowly. You saw the legs going up in the air. You could see that. Like, I mean, it was absolutely one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And I want to talk about a few points here. But he was actually protesting both candidates that they are going to do basically a fascist coup. Mm-hmm. I guess the guy believed it's all rigged. I tend to agree with his message. I don't think we have a true leader in the world. And even if Donald Trump was Jesus Christ himself, which he's not, no one man can fix the amount of corruption that exists in our country, in the world, in 4 years, when everyone beneath you is gangrene, unless he would come in and take everyone out of office, change the voting rules, change how long they can stay in power, senators and congresspeople. There is no way out of here. There's no one that can save the American people. There's no one that can save you in Australia. There's no one that can save you in Canada except you, the people, yourself. And as long as we have the type of division we have going on right now, I don't see a way out, not only for America, I don't see a way out for humanity. And I speak from a human perspective. Now, what upset me about what happened yesterday was you had all these people around. You had press people. You had reporters. You had cameramen. Then you had protesters and supporters of Trump and against Trump. Some of them were holding huge Trump flags that they could have easily taken off the pole and try to put the guy out. Everyone's calling for the police to put this guy off fire. First of all, I would have been paying attention. If you're all these people that were next to me, you see someone pull and start throwing something on their body, my first thought in the world we live in is this guy's probably about to set himself on fire. I'm tackling this guy to the ground. Now, I'm not expecting everyone to do stuff like that, but how was there no one there that could have reacted a little quicker? What's crazy is this guy is somehow still alive in critical condition. I saw the video and prayed for him to not survive that because,
right.
I mean,
I know,
you know,
man.
It's just devastating, and it just shows the mind of where people have come, how upset people are, frustrated with our leaders, how much they've let down humanity, that we literally don't feel like we have a single person in the world that is on our side, and I don't care what country you talk about. It's, you know, be careful of the ones that seek power. A true leader is someone that's so inspirational, so motivational, so ethical that people say, you are the one, not the guy that's going, I'm the one, I'm the best, I'm going to do this. These are the people we should be running for, running away from. It's the one that is so righteous that the collective just says, you know something? This guy's such a great person. He's so honest. This woman is so honest. This is why she's so honest. This is the person I trust. And we don't have that anywhere. And I just don't see a way out. That's positive.
Yeah, it's wild, these people setting themselves on fire. It's like this sort of wake-up call. Like I was saying earlier, the interview I did with Michael Yon, and I kept trying to get at him, like, what can we do? And he said, it's the language, you know, instead of calling it immigration, call it an invasion. Instead of calling it a vaccine, call it a weapon. And everyone's so terrified of social shame, but we're under an extreme form of invasion already. And we're surrounded, our freedoms are surrounded. And I think these people setting themselves ablaze are attempting to be alarm bells. And not that I'm encouraging anyone to do anything like that. It's awful, really. But it is symptomatic of what's going on in our world. And it is dire, it seems to me. And I don't want to get into doomsday stuff, but it does seem like we're, you know, in a dire situation in the world right now, and in the invasion of our country and the sort of dismantling of our freedom.
You know, as far as the migrant crisis, if that's even the right word for them, brother, they are illegally crossing into the United States of America. Okay, what I am scared of is also what's going on in the Middle East, right? You have Iran and Israel going back and forth all of a sudden, right? The World War III memes went viral and everyone's, you know, again, even I was like, okay, we could be in trouble here. I'm starting to think, man, maybe Iran's in on this. I'm starting to think that maybe it's a distraction. Maybe all the money that we sent them, right? The Obama administration sent billions of dollars. So to me, it's like, you can't send that kind of money and they're kind of against you. What if it's just all shock and awe to get everyone off the distraction? Regardless of where you stand on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, without a doubt, Israel is 100% losing the information war. Mm-hmm. 100%. At least in the areas where I live, every single day there is a protest, a very large protest against how Israel has responded. And I think anyone can admit the response was very excessive. You have over 35,000 people supposedly already killed, the overwhelming majority civilians. Out of that, at least half women and children. How do you justify to the world that, hey, we're the civilized ones? They always try to put this image, we're civilized, we're this, we're that. And it's very hard to justify that and win the hearts and minds when you are the superpower, when you have the portrayal of David versus Goliath, except the roles are reversed. They're Goliath against David in the minds of regular people today. This also backfired on the conservative and liberal parties, right? Their support. So it's like, it's just such a very interesting times indeed. I feel like Israel is going to, of course, they're going to win militarily, but I feel like they've lost massive support from people who before this conflict were either neutral or were like, no, you know, I believe they should have their own state. And, you know, I think this conflict is hurting Israel a lot more than they can even begin to comprehend. And I think anyone that's been paying attention, the Golden Gate Bridge was just shut down. You had New York City every single day. And it's not just Arabs and Middle Eastern people or Muslims per se that are protesting in favor of the conflict ending and the Palestinians getting some type of sovereign nation. I really think this war costed Israel. In my opinion, they've lost. They might win militarily.
Well, they lost PR war for sure.
They lost for sure. So what I'm scared about, Joseph, is...
Yeah.
You have an open border. You have intelligence agencies that run throughout our country and throughout the world. To sit here and say that there's not James Bonds of other countries that are in our countries that would agitate, or if something was in their favor to make their enemy look bad, right? Like a false flag. What I fear is something happens on US soil that is designed to shift the minds of the American people to back what's happening in the Middle East. Because they can't sell this war. The majority of the American people don't want this war unless they're, you know, very right wing, or what I would call Christian Zionist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. There is, you know, there's people that believe they can speed up Armageddon by supporting. I mean, we got to call it what it is. There's certain religious groups that believe that by supporting that unequivocally, it's the Holy Israel of the Bible. It doesn't matter what they do. We support that because if we can get them to have their promised land, then the second coming of Christ can be sped up and we're going to be raptured. There's people in office that's their religious beliefs, Joseph Arthur. Extremism right. in any religion is wrong. Extremism in Christianity.
I totally Judaism, agree.
Extremism yeah. in Islam. There are extremists in every religion, yet only the word terrorist is reserved for Muslims. And that's not fair, Joseph Arthur.
No.
That's not fair.
Especially
at all.
When I think of Beck Lover, who's Muslim and one of the nicest guys I know. That's what I always say. And I'm Christian. And look at us. We get along like a house on fire.
Not Joseph, you had a 6-year-old stabbed to death in front of his mother in, if I'm not mistaken, it was Chicago or Michigan 2 months ago, right when the conflict started. Okay. The guy said, oh, you guys are Muslims? Opened the door, stabbed him. Stabbed the 6-year-old boy in front of his mother. They never called him a terrorist, though, right? You had in Australia, sorry, New Zealand, you had the Christchurch massacre. You had 51 Muslims gunned down in a mosque during Friday prayer. They said hello, brother, to the guy. Tarrant was his last name. He walked in, opened fire. He had manifestos. He had crosses over his rifles. Clearly a Christian extremist. They never once called him a Christian terrorist. And my point is this. There's no such thing as a Christian terrorist. There's no such thing as a Muslim terrorist. There's no such thing as a Jewish terrorist. You cannot be a follower of any of those religions and be a person of terror. These faiths are designed to make people believe in God, to be righteous, to be humble in life. These are oxymorons. There's no such thing as a Christian terrorist. You cannot be a follower of Christ or Muhammad and take innocent life. That is very clear in all three of those faiths, Arthur. So why is the term only reserved when supposedly it's a mentally deranged person from one heritage but not the other? It's not fair, Joseph Arthur.
Divide and conquer. That's the game. But your Absolutely. Idea that these wars are a distraction for what's really going on in this invasion of America, it's like Chinese military age people coming into our country, I guess, in ludicrous amounts. What do you think? What's the scene like in New York City? I mean, how is it changing there? Do you see? I mean, are you worried about staying there?
Joseph, I pray to Almighty God. I've tried to leave twice. Okay, this is before we got shut down with the pandemic. I tried to move to Vegas. Things didn't work out. I tried to move to San Antonio, Texas. I couldn't. God wouldn't let me plant my flag, man. I don't know why he wants me in Babylon. What's my outlook on this city? Not a good one, brother. Not a good one at all. I want my children out of here. I don't want to be here when shit hits the fan, and I believe it truly will. And the last place you'd want to be is anywhere in the cities, man. Whenever you study, I don't care if you read the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, the places that always got destroyed when shit hit the fan was the cities, brother. I want to get away from the cities. I want to go into the wilderness. You're so lucky that you moved out of here. Things have not. Listen, I was out last night. It's a Friday night. Okay? And things are not back to normal. All of my contacts, for those of you that don't know me, I'm a nightlife legend of New York City. I'm retired. I don't indulge. I haven't drank in over a decade. You know, but I'm still got my roots in nightlife. I still keep up with my friends and the Joneses, and I know what's going on out there. Nightlife is down 40% since 2 years ago. All of my friends that own nightclubs, 40% decrease. People do not have money. The outlook is not positive. A city that was known for you could do anything and anything can happen, is meaning as far as you succeeding in life, that now it's anything can happen from you can get robbed. The guy that killed you gets out of jail tomorrow. Someone can set themselves on fire. Now we're known as the city that anything can happen that is beyond your worst nightmares. That's the difference. We used to be the city of you can dream anything and make it happen. Now we're like, you could dream of a nightmare and watch it happen, because up is down and down is up. And people, the morale is low. People are vibrating so low, Joseph, that they've lost hope. I truly believe this. I know you do too. You feel energy, right? You can feel energy. You can feel it when something's wrong, when something's good, when something's happy, when you're in a room of people laughing, you can feel it. It's like that episode of Ghostbusters 2 where they had to like charge the ooze and make it positive so that the Statue of Liberty could move around to save the city, right? So the city is vibrating very low. The energy, the good energy is not here, man. It's just not here.
Why are you staying then? You said God won't let you plant the flag, your flag elsewhere, but you have some control over that. I mean, I know you have family and everything like that, and it's more complicated, but I don't know. I would think somebody with your vision and seeing what's going on, you would just demand that you move.
Maybe I'm John Connor, Joseph Arthur. I don't know. Maybe I'm John Connor, but, you know, Terminator reference. But,
right, I got it.
You know, brother, it's a little more complicated for some personal reasons, right? I, you know, right. Had a major life shift. And let's just say I'm being held here against my will. I have some financial responsibilities. I have some
family, kids.
Know, I have some kids that I have to share with someone else. And, you know, there's things that unfortunately yep. I got my hands tied behind my back, and that pandemic did not be there. I'm not here by choice, Joseph Arthur. I would be either in Florida, first choice, Texas, second choice. It is my birthplace, but, you know, very hard to turn my back on my city, but I don't recognize my city anymore. It's almost like New York City has dementia. It means I see my city, I see the buildings, but nothing feels the same anymore. Our city has dementia. It's there,
but
it ain't there no more. You have to learn how to accept reality and say, I will never see the, you, Joseph, you lived there. We met when it was still an amazing place to live, man.
Amazing.
It was magical place, so much fun. You never knew who you were going to meet. Art was flourishing. People had like optimism. And now it's like, bro, it feels like a prison, Joseph Arthur.
It's a damn shame, man. I hate to hear that. I mean, I'm glad I left. Last time I went there, it wasn't that long ago. I played some shows, and it had great energy still, but it was very different. And I could see it going in the wrong direction. I mean, Tompkins Square Park didn't resemble what it used to resemble. It felt like a spooky place to be. I was walking with my child there. And
it's like
I was
a refugee
like,
camp.
What am I doing? This is kind of dangerous. And I never used to feel dangerous for years and years and years. So, yeah, I don't know. It's anyway, let me take a quick break. We'll be right back with Beck Lover right after these words on TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Turn on Alexa and ask her to play
TNT.
Turning on anything else usually requires dinner and conversation, dressing up and brushing your teeth, and I'm already tired.
This is today's news talk, TNT.
And we're back with Beck Lover. I noticed you're smoking there. Not to call you out, Beck Lover, but I got back on nicotine as well. I went back on the Zins. I don't know. You know, I missed nicotine, I have to say. It had this focusing feeling to me, but maybe I'm just duping myself. What about
you?
Rough couple
of years, Joe. And yeah. So I had a relapse after 11 years. To tell you where I was mentally, I would have never imagined. But I was going through a very stressful time. The pandemic didn't help. I don't know if you can see, but I've lost 50 pounds since the last time I was on your show.
Yeah, you look thin.
I lost 50 pounds. I have to lose another 50. So imagine losing 50 and I'm still morbidly obese. But the good news is my blood pressure has stabilized. My sleep apnea is gone. And I feel amazing, Joe. And, you know, things are looking better. But as far as, you know, it's just, if we don't take care of yourself, it's so easy with everything that happened, with the close down of the world. Like, you know, we have shell shock. The masses are not as strong. Some of us can back up. Some of us draw upon spiritual. We pray to God and, you know, it helps relieve anxiety. You know, a lot of my friends, they started praying. It's helped with them. Meditate. You got to have something. If you don't have something to recalibrate, life is stressful. Yeah. Even without any of this chaos going on in the world, life is stressful. You need something to ground you. And people get into these vicious cycles. I was in it, Joe. If someone's out there, if you're 100 pounds, I was 110 pounds overweight. I've had friends that have taken some of these shots, you know, not to stay on them permanently. But sometimes, you know, you're in a dire situation. Your blood pressure is hitting 200. You're overweight. You're one day away from a stroke, man.
Hmm.
Stop waiting to be a victim. Take
control. Is that what you took? Did you take the, what's it called? Ozempic or whatever?
No. They should call it Ozempic. No, I've actually twice in my life, Joe. You remember when you first met me at Kava Sutra. I wasn't this heavy. I had just lost 80 pounds the first time I met you doing keto. I did the keto diet. You know, I cut out carbs. And then I would do 40 minutes of cardio. And man, I took off like 80 pounds in 4 months, man. It's really not that damn hard. It's all in our minds. And people need to, you know, really just like, if you're not healthy, man, like now, like, okay, I feel great again. I feel some positivity again. I don't feel as full of anxiety. Because when you're not healthy, you know, it's a scary feeling, man. You just, but people get used to it and they stay there, man. We can't stay in the darkness always. We have to fight always to stay in the light.
Absolutely, man. I definitely, like, I do a yoga practice. I go to the cold plunge and the infrared sauna. I do it every day. I try to meditate every day. I mean, and even with that, you struggle with your mind. So definitely, it's an uphill battle. And I agree, we all have, I think, some degree of post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, what you on the break, you said you wanted to talk about Puff Daddy. I don't really know what's going on with him. I haven't really followed that. There's all these distractions.
His name is Love now. His name is Love. But if you would have called himself, yeah, if you would have called himself Lover, we would have had a copyright infringement. Uh-oh. Right?
What's going on with Puff? Have you been following that story? What's up with that?
A little bit of background. Okay, I've actually hung out with him 3 times in my life. Not hung out like where it was just me and him at one of his parties. Okay, I want to clarify for the record.
Careful.
He didn't diddy me. But first time that I really got to be in the same room as him, right? And like what I was talking about earlier, like energy, right? Was 2001. There was an album release party called We Invented the Remix. It's one of the albums that Puff Daddy back then, he called himself Puff Daddy. And then right when that album came out, he switched to Diddy. And that's right when he had broken up with Jennifer Lopez and he was putting out all these songs about how he basically missed her. I need a girl to ride, ride, ride. I need a girl to call my... So he made all those songs, right? I am a young man. I'm 19 years old. I went to Pace University. There was a girl named Victoria who worked for Jacob the Jeweler. He's a world famous jeweler. Okay.
I know who he is.
She comes up to me and she goes, Beck, I need to get into this party and I don't know how to get in. And it was hosted at a place called Lot 61. It was on 21st Street and West Side Highway. It's now a big hole. It's a hole there. There's nothing there anymore. It's this amazing lounge that was owned by a woman named Amy Sacco, who owned the legendary Bungalow 8 also. She was one of the queens of nightlife.
I used to hang out at Bungalow 8.
Monday night, and that's even one of his songs, Puff Daddy. Monday night, we go to Bungalow 8. He said that in a famous lyric on Welcome to New York, which was also made by Ja Rule. But getting back to the whole story, she basically worked for this jeweler before the world knew who he was. Her job, very good looking girl, was to get into the nightclub, hand out her business cards to the rappers. This is one of my Forrest Gump moments. I've changed a lot of lives, Joseph Arthur, and these people don't even know me. And if you're watching Jacob the Jeweler, you owe me a watch, and this is why he owes me a watch. That night, we get to the front of this club, and there was 1,000 people outside. You couldn't even see the door. I get us in. I walk in. Is every famous rapper of that era in one room that only fits 300 people. Puff Daddy's on a table dancing with some models. It was Busta Rhymes' birthday also. Cash Money was there, and Black Rob, which was one of his artists at the time, who's deceased now. This is before YouTube, before you could look things up on a phone. I didn't know how all these artists look. I'm sitting by a man named Black Rob. He had a massive hit called Like Whoa, right? I'm sitting next to him. Puffy's dancing. He goes, I hate that mother effer. I'm like, who? He points to Puffy. Well, why do you hate him? He's like, you know that song, Whoa? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's my song, man. I said, that's your song? He's like, yes, I fucking love that song. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to
curse. Don't curse. It's family friendly, Beck.
I'm sorry, sorry, sorry.
That's okay. You're forgiven.
Forgive me, everyone. I was quoting. And make the story short, he's like, I hate this man. I can't make no money because of him. And if you look at his history, all of his artists had the same problem with him. Jaded Kiss. Or make the story short, I could sense the majority of the people in that room didn't feel good about this guy. What happened? I don't know. We see FBI raids. We see all this stuff going on in his compounds. And then all of a sudden, it's like he's bicycling around Miami, supposedly. But how is he not? Yeah, how is he not in custody? Why would they raid if they weren't looking to arrest him? Was he really in Miami and they knew? Is this some big distraction? Now he's supposedly taking public jabs at Jay-Z, Beyonce, Oprah. I mean, is this about to be the hip-hop version of Jeffrey Epstein? I think so, brother. I think we're about to see something massive come out. Or P. Diddy, or Love as he calls himself, might accidentally take himself out. If I was him, I would start making videos saying, I'm not suicidal. I don't plan on taking my... If I was him, that's what I would be saying publicly right now. Because if he has those types of enemies, and if he knows the type of stuff that I think he does, and supposedly there's tapes and all types of rumors floating around Hollywood and the music world, I wouldn't be surprised if Diddy's... Diddy not anymore.
Now, why do you think people fall to evil to this degree? I mean, they lose themselves. It seems like sex is the big sort of weak point of humanity, and people falling into evil. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, as the cliche goes. I mean, why do you think people lose all contact with sort of their moral center when they encounter this much success?
I think unless you have a strong connection to the creator and the spiritual, you know, spiritual connection, we are, you know, three parts to a human being. We are the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And when a human being has all three aligned, they become very powerful, very inspirational, very uplifting. Mm-hmm. But when a human being only follows their desires, they become lower than the animals. Why did God make Adam bow to the angels? Why would he make a creature that's perfect, made out of light, doesn't have free will, can never disobey a God, never can disobey God, at least from the Muslim perspective, right? The angels couldn't, they could not not follow God's command. So why would he make this creation like us that has free will and can do all these horrible things? And why would he make that creation bow, right? Why would God tell the angels to bow to Adam? Very simple. They don't have free will. They can't do anything wrong. Mm. When we choose to listen to God and obey his commandments, and I always say the 10 commandments, you follow those 10 rules, we have heaven on earth, brother. Respect your neighbor. Don't take life. You know, have some honor. Simple morals. When you follow the rules of the creator, you are not following your desires, which are lust, fame, greed, right? These desires that we have, lust. When a human being doesn't follow their desires, they are higher than the angels because they choose to follow the creator out of their own cognition, out of their own free will. When a human being only follows their desires, they are lower than the animals because only animals fornicate, right? They don't have the intellect that God gave us this gift. They only think with their instincts, which is to keep, you know, sleeping with each other, right? To make more animals, eat, and use the bathroom. So there's plenty, I would say the overwhelming majority of people on this world are lower than animals. Why are they lower than animals? Because all they do is eat, drink, suck, F word, follow their desires, right? And they have the intellect that the animal doesn't have. That's why they are lower than animals. And that's why you see the world we live in today, because they follow their desires, which are the easiest way to corrupt the soul and for humanity to be where it is right now. That is why we vibrate so low. That is why when you study the great leaders of theology, Jesus Christ, Buddha, all the prophets that came before, there was some type of prohibition. There was some type of fasting. There was always some type of fasting. The Jews also fast certain days throughout the year. Lent for the Catholics. There's a, let me detach from the material world, because if you're only in the material world, then you, the animal part of you only wants to dominate, to conquer. You don't use the other gifts that God gave you, your heart, your mind, your soul. Put yourself in other people's shoes. This is why we live. It's so simple. Why people are so greedy. You have billions of dollars and you still want to destroy the world. Like it's not enough. You can't even spend what you have. This is a disease of the soul. Buddhism also, you know, teaches to not, you know, has a lot of these principles in them. And this is why we are where we are, Joseph Arthur, because people are following their desires, they're feeding that, and they're not feeding the spiritual, brother.
It's hard to imagine, though, when you have that kind of success as someone like P. Diddy had or has, and like you can even talk about Bill Gates and stuff like that, why these people can't find some kind of balance, you know, like in terms of, okay, the lust stuff and fornication. I don't necessarily think you have to be a saint. You could have like a great girlfriend, for instance, or a great boyfriend, whatever your proclivity is, and sort of keep it between the lines and then just get creative, have financial freedom, like build stuff, make great things. You don't necessarily have to be a saint or Marcus Aurelius about it. You can sort of probably, it seems to me, find a kind of balance where you still have fun in your life and you don't necessarily have to be a celibate monk per se, but you don't also have to create, some kind of weird sex ring and just like, fall completely to the dark side. Why do you think, I guess there's that famous Bible quote, it's easier for a rich man or a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to make it to the kingdom of heaven.
Chapter 10 is where you quote from, my friend.
Yeah, why is that?
First of all, I'm a little bit more conservative on that side. I think the reason we are where we are is, again, tying into what I just said. This let's sleep around environment, the sexual revolution.
Not sleep around, though. What about, like, okay, go ahead. But what about balance?
This sexual revolution of the 60s.
What if you have a great monogamous girlfriend, for instance?
Well, at that point, then, you know, if you love her that much and you're monogamous, then good for the respect she has. And I'm not saying, listen, I understand the fears people have because I just went through my own situations, but I understand the fear people have of signing away. Cool. There's prenuptials for that. Or you can do it spiritually, right? Where it's serious, right? You're taking an oath and you're giving the person the dignity that they deserve spiritually. The problem everybody has now is they give the most sacred thing you have. There's nothing more sacred you can give someone than your body. You as a woman, there's nothing more sacred you can give to a man than your body. You're letting them enter your vessel, okay? And if that's the first thing you're giving away, then what's left? If a man's getting that up front, then what's left? My point is, I think we got it backwards. We really have it backwards today. With the increase in divorce, this is all where this is coming from. It's coming from lust. 60% of children are being born out of wedlock. 90% of violent crime is for children born out of wedlock. 90% of violent crime. Single parent homes. This is now the generation of bastards. If you guys want to see where promiscuity led to, look at the world around you. That's why you have what's happening right now, Joseph Arthur, because a human life means nothing, because the act of creating that life was nothing. It was a sport. You have the Fresh and Fit podcast that claimed to be the right type of people and men and this and that. And he just knocked up a woman and was recorded on a call telling her to abort that baby. So everything his show was about was BS. That's my point. Being responsible. If you're not ready or prepared to seriously consider someone as your partner in life, you shouldn't be sleeping with them. You shouldn't be taking that risk. I think we're going to pay a price for that. And I think you will pay a price when you meet the creator. It's not a game. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I was an angel when I was younger, but I understand it now, later on, looking back. And when you are with the right person, why would you want to mess it up? Why would you want, just for a few seconds? And people go, well, why do you believe in God? Because I feel like he could have made it. He could have made it where there was no pleasure involved in that transaction. But then where would the test be? Where would the test of your character be? If there was no pleasure involved in that type of action between man and woman, it would be an easy test, man. I think 90% of our problems wouldn't exist. But the family, Joseph Arthur, the family is the nucleus of society. The family structure has been under attack for over 60 years, maybe even more. And it didn't happen overnight. It was gradual. When I Dream a Genie exposed her belly button on that show during the 60s, there was people in the streets protesting. Now you're seeing things today on television that you would never imagine just on regular programming. You would have to watch it on HBO in the old days. What is considered today PG-13 was rated X in our time, Joseph Arthur. This corrupts the mind. This corrupts the soul. This is what makes it easier to be promiscuous, to not have any moral compass. And when they can get you on one desire, they get you on the rest. And that's more information for the last question you asked me. I believe this is where it's all coming from.
Interesting. So it's like a slippery slope, basically. No pun intended.
That the punishment for adultery is so severe in those religions? Because I believe the creator could understand. Once the family unit is like the atom, when you split an atom, you have nuclear power, can destroy the world. Once the family unit was destroyed, and it has been destroyed, there's very few pockets left in the world that actually operate by that. And then you tie in the loneliness of social media, where I'm being a real brother. My family, we don't get together like we used to. I'm talking about my extended family. We were 20 cousins, 30. No one gets together anymore. Nobody even goes to high school reunions anymore because I feel like I see everybody. And it's like we've lost the human touch. We're in the digital world now. Everything's digital. So we're cut off from our own essence. Our families are torn apart. And then we feel like, oh, I'm good because I texted my mom, but I didn't see her. Like, no, you need to be to feel that energy. Like I said, to have that energy that gets rid of anxiety is to be around the people you love, your family, your friends. We've become, it's just a sad state, man. Very sad.
Do you think there's any way to get it back?
You know, everyone's scared of EMPs going off. I hope to God it goes off. Let it come. If it takes down all this tech, I hope it comes. That's the only way out for us because it's never. We're just too digital.
Yeah, but people will die. If the grid goes down, I guess 80% of the population will die within 2 months is what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard some of those projections.
You know, so I don't know. That seems like a nightmare. Anyway, let me take a quick break. We'll be right back with Beck Lover right after these words on TNT.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor, creating new visions. Now, my fingers are my eyes. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that means a lot to me. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
And we're back with New York City freedom fighter, podcaster, Beck Lover. So, Beck, I don't know if you saw the Tucker Carlson interview with Joe Rogan that's going viral. He's talking about aliens actually being of the supernatural variety, that these are sort of, they've always been here, and people are tuning into the supernatural aspects all around us, demons and angels and such. I know you go viral on this subject. Tell me your thoughts on that. It's interesting seeing someone like Tucker Carlson proclaiming that the supernatural is real on a show as big as Joe Rogan.
I'm glad he finally caught up. You can go look at my podcast from 3 years ago where I said, and I quote, "The greatest trick the devil ever played on humanity was not to convince himself he didn't exist, was to convince the world he was an alien." That's one of my quotes. I've had discussions with people like Dr. Greer on Clubhouse. I was very, very, very popular on Clubhouse. I truly believe that there is a spiritual world, right? And what I mean by spirit, it's actually what you would call in English the demonic realm, okay? The demonic realm is on Earth, the devil's species. They were on Earth long before us. We are the ones. If you want to see an alien and you're watching this show right now, go to your mirror. Look in the mirror, you're going to see an alien. If you believe in the God of Abraham, if you are a Jew, a Christian, or a Muslim, that's half the world, then you know that we are the ones that were cast down onto this earth. We are the aliens. Why are you going to trust the same media that you guys all claim you don't trust, right? They're all paid and bought for. Yet when it comes to the subject of aliens, you guys all believe their narrative. You don't find some hypocrisy in that. The truth of the matter is, I believe that they figured out how to communicate with that side. I believe through black magic. I believe through rituals that were done with Aleister Crowley. Where's most of this tech came from? When you study the life of Aleister Crowley, his disciples, Jack Parsons, is the reason spaceships took off the way they did at that time. He's the one that invented the jet fuel that propelled them. And he had dreams where a demonic being came to him and told him that I'm going to help you because you're going to help me. And that's how he invented jet fuel, in his own words, Joseph Arthur. There is a spiritual presence on this earth and a parallel dimension, but most people do not perceive it. Why all of a sudden are they declassifying this information? My true humble opinion, whether it's the Large Hadron Collider or some other tech that they've figured out, where they are in direct communication, if not even opened a portal where people discuss the Mandela effect. I remember the movie Star Wars. He said, Luke, I'm your father. That's not what it says. I remember the robot was all gold. He has a silver leg. I don't know 100% if the Mandela effect is real, but it definitely leads me to think, are we playing with things we shouldn't be? Are we shifting? Science tells us there's up to 13, maybe even more dimensions. We see three. Animals, I believe, can see what we don't see. I believe babies, before they speak their first word, and in the Muslim tradition, we believe that until a child can speak, they have no veil on their third eye. That's why a baby will start laughing sometimes, and the Muslims believe they might be seeing angels, or when they see something scary, they see the demonic realm. Animals can see the demonic realm. We can't. We can see only in three dimensions. This is my true humble opinion. Do I believe that there's an agenda to convince the world that aliens created us? Absolutely, because it's been going on for over 100 years. This is the new space movement, the new age movement, as it's called, started by Aleister Crowley, Ron L. Hubbard, the Scientologist, which many of Hollywood's connected to, which believes that there's aliens and volcanoes that created us. Okay? This agenda has been going on for 100 years, and most of you will be deceived and most of you will fall for it. I don't believe in Project Bluebeam. I believe they may have figured out a way to open up a portal to allow that dimension into this dimension. Only God knows. These are my theories. Call me crazy all you want. Only God knows the truth.
Well, Tucker was saying that the elite are trying to mend with AI to create like sort of a superhuman reality that can exist forever. I mean... And then I was listening again to Elon Musk talk about the simulation, and he talks about Pong, the video game. And it's funny, video games may be becoming more and more significant to the story of our lives here. I wonder what you think about the simulation. He says, you know, go back, I don't know how many years he said, 40 years, 30 years, whatever, when Pong was, the height of technology, and it was like basically, you know, a stick and a ball and going back and forth. And now the evolution of video games and virtual reality, where it's almost indistinguishable from actual so-called reality. And so if that's the case, then if it progresses at all, pretty soon it will be indistinguishable. And so the idea that we are at base reality now is highly unlikely. I mean, it seems like people are getting more and more comfortable talking about the nature of reality being a simulation. What's your theory on that?
I truly believe 100% we're in a simulation. We are in a simulation designed by the creator, by God. These bodies are avatars. Our soul is in here. God inserted us throughout time as he chose in the world that we live in. This is a world designed to test us 100%. I don't believe in, I believe we have free will, but the game board of life is rigged. Meaning, You didn't have control of when you were born, to what parents you were going to be born to what race you were going to be, or to what location you were inserted into this world. The designer of this world inserted you as he chose. Some of the things that happened, I didn't ask for 9/11 to happen when I was underneath the World Trade Center that day. I didn't know that was going to happen. Changed my life forever. We don't have control over a lot of the events that happen in our life. All we have control over is how we respond. That is the free will. That is the gift. If God gave all of us money, what kind of a test would it be? If all of us had money, then God doesn't have to test the one that has if he will give, and he doesn't have to test the one that's poor to see if he's going to steal or commit murder to get it. If we all had everything, what kind of a test would it be? But if we all followed and we did what we were supposed to, and we treated human beings with dignity, regardless if they believe in our faith or not, that is not what none of these religions teach you to exterminate your enemy. That's a fact. I don't care. Pick any religion, unless it's some crazy cult. I'm talking about the world religions. None of them teach you to take human life unless in self-defense. That is a fact. I will debate anybody here publicly that wants to debate about these religions. I accept your debate. I hope Patrick Bet-David sees this. You had the archbishop that was just stabbed, right? We talked about that earlier. Mari Emanuel. I don't agree with his doctrine, per se, his exact religious beliefs. But I did agree with a lot of what he was talking about. And a lot of it is what I say. The family unit, having respect, structure, you know. So much of what that man said, I agree with, you know. I may not agree with his delivery. I may not agree with his actual doctrine religiously, but I did respect a lot of what he said. And I felt horrible about what happened to him. But everyone was quick to say this guy was this and that. And like, it's just dignity and respect. People treat each other with respect. We wouldn't have the problems we have right now. We live in a generation of mockery. We mock people. We push them to their breaking point. And this, we're seeing the violence. This is where the violence comes from.
You're saying we have free will. That's an interesting debate. I don't know if you're familiar with Jesse Lee Peterson. He's an interesting character and says that we have no free will. Then the Bible, it says our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. I wonder about free will myself, because it doesn't make sense that we wouldn't have any free will. But then again, if our battle is principalities, I guess his point is principalities are acting upon us and making us act a certain way. To what extent do you think we actually have free will, and to what extent are we just subject to demonic principalities, like guiding us around like puppets on weird strings?
They do not guide us at all, Joseph. They try to inspire us. That's the only power they have, is to whisper thoughts into our minds that we think are ours, to influence us, you could say telepathically in some ways, ESP, right? People want to say, you know, those type of terminology. I'll tell you, yes, we do have free will. There was times in my life when I was on the righteous path where I was trying to stay out of the material world and try to keep my covenant with the Creator. And I'd have one of the first girlfriends I had was drop dead gorgeous when I was in high school. Everybody wanted her. For some reason, she was attracted to me. I told her, I said, I'm celibate. If you ever try to sleep with me, I will dump you. 3 weeks into the relationship, she tried to seduce me. I got up. I had that moment of thought where the angel and the devil comes on my shoulder. I got up. I got dressed. I walked out and I broke up with her. She told the whole school I tried to sleep with this guy. They all thought I was maybe into men. But I had free will there, Joseph. The opportunity presented itself. And at that time, I chose. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I was able to keep that commitment, but I tried for a long time. We have these choices in life. We have choices. The game board is rigged. You couldn't control who you were born to. You can't control. People say luck. It wasn't luck. You were placed on a path, and these things happen to you. It's the program of God's simulation, God's game, if you want to call it. He's not playing with us, though. He didn't make it for amusement. We have an option to either elevate or degenerate. The choice is ours. Are these horrible things that happen to you going to turn you into a stone-cold zombie that walks the earth? Or are you going to remember the essence of why you're on this planet? It's to elevate your soul, to stand for what's right, even if it costs you your life, to have dignity, because you're going to die anyway. And that's why I don't understand all these people that did sell their souls. You got billions of dollars. nothing's going to be better than your 20s to your, let's say, your 50s, as most people, like your fun, your health, your whatever, and then it starts to go down, right? So you did it for what? For 40 years of pleasure, you sold, if there is a God, okay? I'm not going to knock the people on your show that don't believe, but if there is an eternity and if there is a chastisement that can be waiting for us, you're going to trade 40, 50 years possibly of bliss. And no one has a perfect life, right? Look at Puffy. 40, 50 years of a great time for a possible eternity? I don't think it's worth it. And that's where the challenge comes. You choose. Do you want to do that or not? Or maybe there's nothing. If there's nothing, then I guess I lose. I could have had more money. I could have been more heartless. I could have slept with more people. But I still feel even if there's no creator, there's benefits to not doing those things. And I think the proof in that pudding is look at the world we look in. Look at society. We don't think as a collective. We just think as individuals. Me, 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 me.
Yeah.
Look at where the world is. So even if there was no creator, Joseph, the world would be a better place if we operated by these principles. I guarantee you.
Well, I think we're dual beings. We're spirit and we're ego. And so it's like when you say 40 years of having a great time, that's your ego having a great time or sort of, you know, but your spirit then becomes, you know, when I've let go into hedonism, I feel spiritually sick very quick. So I wouldn't even call it a great time. It's a great time to a certain degree to sort of like my base nature. But yeah, you feel numb. Why do you think so many people fall short? And where do you think this test comes from? It seems like it's a strange test to give us all these sort of earthly desires and then to sort of have to overcome all that and just focus on spirit, which is presence in the sort of seemingly at first empty here and now, you know what I mean? To sort of choose spirit, or like you got up from that girl back in high school.
Very hard.
That's very hard to do. And most people seem to fall short on this, of this test. Where do you think this test comes from? And why do you think it's set up the way it is? And why do you think people fall short?
I think this is why the creator is merciful. I think this is why he forgives sins up until the point, meaning he knows how hard he made this test, and it's hard. I believe we chose to come into this existence. Like, we chose basically to either be good or bad, and we're living out what we chose, right? What do I think? I think that you have up until like you're 40 years old to figure it out. I think God gives you time. You're going to make these mistakes. You're going to feel that emptiness. I've felt it in my life, Joseph, when I was drinking and doing all that stupid stuff that I regret with everything in me. I'm sure you have some of those moments in your life. But eventually your wisdom kicks in. You're like, I don't ever want to feel that empty again, because I was feeding my ego and not my heart. 100%, you said the right word, feeding the ego. That's why pride is such a looked down thing upon in all of the faiths. Arrogance. Arrogance is very dangerous. It's what led to humanity being cast out, right? If the devil wasn't arrogant, he would have bowed to Adam and we wouldn't be here today. We'd all be up there drinking Coors Lights and hanging out. But instead, his pride led him to disobey, even though he's in front of the one that created everything that exists in this world and the world we can't see. Arrogance, my friend. Pride. I'm better than you. My skin color is better than yours. My religion is better than yours. No, you know what? That's your choice. Everyone has a right to choose their path. I can't judge you. You can't judge me. Regardless if I think you're wrong or if I know you're wrong. You know what? If I'm wrong, you should feel sorry for me, because based on your religion, I'm going to burn in hell.
Look at the heroes of the Bible, though. Even like Paul constantly fell short. He was like, say, why do I keep doing these things I know I shouldn't do? And David slept with that girl who was showering and then got her pregnant and then tried to, you know, get her to sleep with her husband so he would think he had the baby, and then, you know, tried to get her husband killed, I guess, so like he could make off with the wife. I mean, these are the heroes of the Bible, and they did diabolical things. What's up with that?
Well, remember, at their time, you know, these things were considered radical too, right? Like, you know, to commit adultery, you'd be stoned to death in public, you know?
Right.
Which is, you know, just how serious people took the family structure and honor and dignity. Like I said, we live in a generation of bastards. And I hate to use that terminology, but it's the truth. If you want to know why the world is where it is, it's a direct result of lust. 100%.
Wow.
Your fathers not being fathers. They're not raising their children. That's a crime against the children. They're full of rage. These children are full of rage, and it's not their fault. How are they going to be full of love when they weren't given love? They were brought into this world unwanted, undesired. They were brought into this existence by two people who had no love for each other. That child was born in a condition of lust and not love. So then they have a father that's absentee, doesn't even pay child support, or vice versa, a mother that abandons them. They feel abandoned by the people that brought him into this life. You think they're going to care about the guy down the block? No, they're going to pull out a gun and blow his brains out for $20 because they don't care. They have nothing. They All came right. nothing.
Beck Lover, always fun to talk to you, my friend. Tell everyone where to find you.
B-E-K, that's B like boy, E like Edward, K like Kimberly, becklover.com. Follow me on X, BeckLoverNYC, and on Instagram at BeckLover, N like Nancy, Y like Yogurt, C like Charlie, NYC, BeckLoverNYC. Joseph Arthur, always a pleasure, my brother.
Inspiring as always, man. I hope you take care of yourself out there in New York, man. I'll keep checking in.
I miss you
too, bro. God bless you, man. Keep listening, Please everybody. Well. Yeah, we'll be right back with more. Peace on Earth after these words on TNT.